Praise him, praise him. This isn't exactly a continuation of last week's message, but it's kind of an offshoot. And we talked a little bit last week, a bit. I listened to the message. It'll be on the radio next week, and I listened to it to make sure it was okay and all that stuff. But we talked a lot about wherever you live, work, or play, to use your job, your skills, your passions to reach others for Christ. And even though they weren't here, I got to see that on Facebook from one of our members who is preparing to go into the hospital and use that opportunity to share the gospel with someone. And I was just so blessed by seeing that. Today we're going to explore the praise and the role that it plays in sharing our love of God and his love for us with other people. And I think we've heard praise during the offertory. Beautiful playing. I hope you heard praise in what we just did. I pray that we can praise God in everything that we do. When Debbie leads the music, she often says something about how much she loves praise songs. And I appreciate that. I love praise songs too, but I challenge you to find a song in this hymnal that is not a praise song. And I thought whenever I opened it up, one of the first things I turned to was the Star Spangled Banner. I thought, well, maybe that one. But even in the second verse, not the one we always sing at ball games, but in the second verse, it talks about the heaven-rescued land. We are here because God rescued us. And then it ends with, in God is our trust. There's praise in every hymn. If there's not, we ought to take it out, quite honestly. But regardless of what the lyrics say, a song that gives praise to God doesn't really do much good if we don't have praise in our hearts as we sing it. And I really believe that we need to sing these songs like we're singing them to God. And I felt that during He Lives. I felt it in all of them. But during He Lives and during the song that Miriam played, I Will Rise, and they all just tied together, I felt that this was an offering to God. And I pray that that's what we always do. When we think of biblical songs of praise, we usually think of the Psalms. But Deborah sang a song of praise back in the book of Judges. And David sang lots and lots of them throughout the writings in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles. Mary, of course, sang a song of praise whenever she learned that she would be the mother of the Christ. And all of these praises ranged from victory in battle to specific events like the coming of the Messiah. Today, we're going to look at one song of praise from the book of Isaiah that praises God for the gift of salvation. This past week has been a difficult one. And I know that you know that. And I know that my fellow pastors in this room know that particularly. There's a week every once in a while that goes by, nothing happens out of the ordinary. You know, I get all the stuff done in the office that I want to get done, and I have time to go home and do a few things and that kind of stuff. And I know that there are people who, if they were watching me minute by minute, would think, well, what are we paying him for? You know? And then there's weeks like this week. And it has been. It's been a blessed week in many, many ways. But it's been so busy and so stressful. I don't know any other way to say it. I'll talk more about it in just a minute. But one of the things that I want you to be sure to give praise to God for today is, again, that we're planning and praying for recuperation for Dylan Glenn and not planning a service. Because when I went out there at the beginning, it didn't look good. And I know I could feel prayers being lifted up as we drove down. And I know that when the doctor came in and said something about, I don't know why they put a breathing tube in him. He didn't really need it. And I'm thinking the reason he doesn't need it is because prayers have been answered. Now, there's so much more to say about that, but I put this out. I really think we need to spend a little more time hugging our loved ones and recognizing that life is like a vapor, truly. It's like a vapor. And there's so many things that we need to do to be prepared to meet our Savior. And I pray that you all are here today. We've got a good turnout, and I'm blessed by that. But I pray if there's even one person sitting in this room today that does not know Jesus as Savior, recognize this. None of us are promised tomorrow. And I know I say that a lot. That's almost my motto. But none of us are promised tomorrow. Are you ready? Speaking of being ready, we need to give praise to the Lord. And I think about this. What is your hymn of praise? And I don't necessarily mean a song in the book, but what has God done for you lately that's worthy of praise? And if any of you can sit here today and honestly say, oh, I don't think I've got anything, you need to examine what he's given you. If you can't find praise in anything else than a beautiful sunrise this morning, find praise in that. But there are all kinds of things that God has done for you. And I understand that if things haven't been going so well for you in the last couple of weeks or couple of years or whatever, that you may feel like there's not much to give praise about. But oh, there is. Even in our darkest days, there's so much to praise God about. Two of our beloved members left this earth this past week to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And both of them spent their last days on this earth suffering from dreaded diseases, which certainly challenges the idea of giving praise in all things. But because of salvation, because of his gift, because he lives, we can give praise to God for what he's got planned for us. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 12 today, verses 1 through 6. It's the entire chapter. And I'm going to ask if you would and are able. I want to stress that if you're able, if you don't feel like standing, don't want to stand, can't stand, please remain seated. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Many of you know that I'm a clock watcher, and there are times that I'm just about getting finished about this time. And I hope that that doesn't bother you, because I'm going to go, all right? I have always been too time conscious, and I pray God works on me in that regard. But one of the things that I forgot to lift up in prayer is these two here, three, sitting on the front row, because this could be the week, it should be the week, that baby number three comes into the Johnson household. So be in prayer for these two and for their whole family. Praise God for them. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we just spent a couple of weeks going through the book of Joel. And several times in those three little short chapters, it makes reference to the day of the Lord, or in that day. And most biblical scholars that I studied anyway believe that this is a reference to the day of the return of Christ, the last day. And like so many prophecies, there may be at least a couple different fulfillments of this prophecy. And in this passage that we just read, some believe that it's speaking about when the people of Israel returned from captivity and salvation from the punishment that God had brought upon a disobedient Israel. That's why they were in captivity. But today, in 2016, the application is for you and me as we have been saved, if you have been saved. When Jesus returns on the last day, everyone will know it. It's not going to be something that somebody says, well, Jesus returned in California, but he didn't come back here. It's going to be worldwide. Everyone will know it. Every knee will bow. But on that day, there's going to be a different destination for people who believed and trusted in Jesus Christ and for those who didn't. And I know you know what those destinations are. Verse 1 says again, in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Now, you don't have to raise your hands on this, but you ever felt like God was mad at you? You ever felt like God is just angry, and why is God allowing all these things to happen? I don't know that anger is the word that we probably think of, but when we remain in sin, or when we continue to disobey him despite his pleadings, we are outside his will and his grace. And if we're outside of his will and his grace, it may seem like anger to you, but anyway, the thing of it is, here we're talking not so much about the anger as when anger is turned away. I couldn't say this ever happens in my house, but I've seen it on sitcoms and movies where a spouse is angry and they give their partner the silent treatment. You ever seen that? Some of you may have done that. In some ways, God's silence may seem like anger, but I want you to hold on to this. And I wrote this before anything happened this past week with Dylan. But just because bad things happen does not mean that God is angry at you. It just absolutely does not mean that, or that God is punishing you. It may seem like it. Maybe he's redirecting you, something like that. But just because bad things happen, because goodness, that bad things happen every day, and it does not mean that God is angry necessarily or punishing you. God's perceived anger can be immediately turned into comfort when we repent. Though he may have been angry with us, his anger is turned away. And that's the joy of salvation. All the anger that we believed God had against us is gone, and instead he brings us comfort. What turns his anger into comfort? Well, Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And we've been dwelling on that all morning. And the fact that his blood paid the price for our sins. Give him praise for that. Verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Now recognize that Isaiah is Old Testament, and this comes before we have Jesus to proclaim as our Savior. But God is my salvation. Jesus is God. And we know that salvation rests in God. But where is your trust? And I want you to look at that verse. I will trust and not be afraid because God is my strength and my song. Do you trust in your investments or your savings? Or do you trust in God? Do you trust in your talents and abilities? Or do you trust in God? And please hear this. Do you trust in the outcome of an election? Or do you trust in God? And I struggle with that one myself, I got to admit to you. But we have to put our trust and our faith in the one who is our strength and our song and give him praise because he has become our salvation. Verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I hate to keep focusing on social media, but I posted this, and I want you to hear it for those of you that don't have it. When we drove down to Kansas City Friday, was it Friday? Thursday. This week has just been, anyway. When we drove down there, I was driving down with mourning, quite honestly, because I did not know. I did not think that he would survive this. You don't run up under a school bus and survive it. You know, it just doesn't happen. But I just kept thinking about that. And then when we got there, and finally the doctor came out and said, there are no life-threatening injuries. You could feel the sentiment, the spirit in the room switch from mourning to joy. You could feel it. And that's what this is talking about. With joy, draw from the wells of salvation. When pain and sorrow surround you, we draw from the joy of the knowledge of our salvation. Praise God for that. And when we praise him, when we're praising God, it takes our mind off the things that cause us to doubt and fear and mistrust. It takes our mind away from the difficulties that we face. On the farm where I grew up, we had a well out in the pasture. And it was about halfway between the hayfield on the hill and the stifling heat of the tin barn where we stacked the hay. And many of you can identify with what I'm talking about, I know. And we would stop on the way back in by that well and pump water from mercy. Who knows what kind of a hole that was? I don't know. But we would drink that water, and I swear to you, no water has ever tasted as good since that day. And it's still there. I don't know. I haven't tasted it for quite a while. But the thing of it is, that joy of refreshing that came from that, and the joy of salvation so far surpasses the cool drink that we might be able to get. I know that in many places in Scripture, the grace of God is compared to water, living water, and so on. And in this day and age, when water comes bottled at a cost that we would never have imagined back when I was pumping that well, you know, I still can't imagine it. It just astounds me. We're paying a dollar or more for stuff that comes out of our faucet, you know. But anyway, what we may think of, because water comes at such a price now, we may think that grace comes with a price as well. And I want you to know this. It does come with a price, but Jesus has paid it already. Praise God for that. Praise him. Now, here comes the tie-in to last week's message in verse 4. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Now, here's one place where I stray away from the idea that that day is the last day, because on the last day, it's too late to be sharing the gospel with other people. We need to do it now. So when it says in that day, I think that's today. The time to declare his deeds among the people is right now. The time to exalt his name is today. We may think that we know that everyone knows how much God has done for us. I mean, individually, we may think that you all know how much God's done for me. But every time somebody gives a testimony on Sunday night, I learn some new way that God has worked in someone's life. We're going to have a testimony tonight from Mike, and I don't want to put any pressure on Mike. I just happen to have heard it. It's a good one. And I encourage you to be here if you want to see how God works in an individual's life. I encourage you to be here every Sunday night, because we hear these things from people. We hear what God is doing. We hear his deeds declared. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. The people that you live, work, or have the same interests as, how are they going to know what God has done in your life if you don't declare it, if you don't give him the praise and the glory? I asked Margaret to read to you from Psalm 96 earlier, and I want to read 2 and 3 again. It says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the news of his salvation from day to day, every day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. Evangelism, I know, is tough for a lot of us. We think we don't know our Bible well enough to go sharing it with others, and you may not. And I first of all want to give you a prescription for that. If you don't know your Bible well enough, study it. Read it. There's all kind. And I know a lot of times we wait for January 1st to start something like that, the resolution thing. How's that working for you? Don't wait till then. Do it now. And today we've all got phones that, well, not all of us. A lot of us have phones that have apps on them that you can read the Bible daily. And my first thing I wake up in the morning, it says, don't forget to read your daily Bible. And it reminds me. It'll remind you too. Or pick up an Open Windows or a Daily Bread out there on the Welcome Center, which also has plans. But here's a unique thought. Just pick it up and read it every day. There's nothing in here that's not worth reading. And I say that to you just knowing this. Right now in my daily Bible reading on my phone, it's First Chronicles. And mercy sakes, that's hard to wade through many times. But what always impresses me when I see these long lists of names is God knows their names. He knows my name. Read your Bible. Be prepared. But even before any of us become experts on Scripture, we are experts at our own experiences with God. Nobody knows better than you what God's done for you personally. Share that with people. Tell others how you came to Christ. Tell others what he's done for you since that day. Declare his glory. Share a blessing that you have received recently with someone, praise him. Praise him. And that's evangelism. It really is. I doubt that very many people have been won to Christ because you are able to tell them exactly where that verse is found. But they can be won to Christ by sharing that Jesus has helped you. Jesus has led you. Jesus has changed your life. I shared at Dixie's funeral how her husband came to the Lord 10 years ago on his sickbed. And I shared a lot there that many of you have heard before. But I just got this little random phone call from Jenny Lehleitner, Jenny Slaughter. It said, there's somebody down here who's scared and needs to talk to a pastor. And I walked in and I got to share with Harold, her husband, 40 days before he died. And he accepted the Lord. And since that day, that's become one of the things that Jesus has done for me, because he brought me Dixie through that, brought this church Dixie, and her constant prayer, and her I said she's a pillar in the church. And so because of what God did that day, I can testify to that. But the thing I wanted to share with you is, and this doesn't happen often, after the service, many times, when I see people who've been at the service, you know, they'll say nice things, but a lot of times I get this breakneck thing, like they don't want to look at me. They'll look away from me so quickly they don't want anything to do with me, because they know that they've been convicted. And after the service, one of the young men came to me here at the dinner and said, I've been looking for God, and I believe that today what I heard has helped point me in the right direction. And you just have no idea what that does, to know that something, God used something that seems like a tragic thing to bring somebody closer to Christ. Most of you know the boldness of Kenny Groves in sharing his story. He lived a life that was just as far apart from God as you could possibly get for 50 years. And when he got saved, oh my, he got gloriously saved. And I can just hear him saying it now. And he was bold in telling others what Jesus had done for him. Please proclaim the good news of your salvation at school, at home, at work, at play, on the social media. You know, use the tools he's given you. Declare what he's done for you among all the people that you encounter. Verse 5. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Now, some translations say, let this be known in all the earth, which may be truer to the original. We know today that not everyone on the earth has heard the gospel. And I want to, if you haven't heard me say this before, I want to just hit you upside the head with a sledgehammer here, okay? There are people in Bethany, people that you see every day, who have never heard the gospel. Oh yeah, they know there are churches in town, and they know that there's some guy called Jesus, but they've never heard the gospel. Sing to the Lord, for he's done excellent things. Make it known in your circle. Make it known. It was pointed out to me, and it was not a criticism, that I shared the gospel 3 times at Dixie's funeral. I'm blessed to know that I did, I guess. But that's one of the reasons that I don't mind doing funerals, because I have the opportunity to share the gospel there with people who would never set foot in these doors. And I just praise God for that opportunity. And I pray that their lives might be changed because of the way Dixie lived her life and because somebody heard the gospel there. And for a lot of people, it's the only opportunity I'll ever have. Sometimes after a funeral, I just want to stop every one of them there and just shake them and say, did you hear that? Do you understand? This could be you. I've never done that. I just want to sometimes. Since we know that God's excellent things are not known in all the earth, how is it to be made known? Sing to the Lord. praise him publicly so people will hear it. Finally, then, verse 6, cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. And I think about this, the things that we are eager to cry out and shout about, you know, I go to a football game, I sit in my living room watching a baseball game, and I cry out and shout sometimes, you know. And we just, we don't get embarrassed at a ball game to raise our hands and to clap and to applaud and to carry on. But we get so shy about the one thing that truly matters. Everything about a ball game is here today and gone tomorrow. Ask somebody who was state champion in 1965 how much good it's doing them today. It's gone. I don't think we're going to win many people to Christ by standing up in a crowd and shouting, but telling others and being just as excited about it, that's another story. Before our revival, which is just 3 weeks away, like I said earlier, we're going to be prayer walking. And I mean this sincerely. Every single one of you here today should join us in this. I think when we get ready to go out on our prayer walk, and I haven't got the times decided yet, but when it happens, this parking lot ought to be just as full then as it is today with people who are prepared to go out. You don't have to declare it necessarily. You're just going to be standing on a street corner praying with other people. It's relatively simple. And if every one of you go, and everyone that's not here today goes, we can knock this town out in probably an hour or two. But if it's just Evan and I, it's going to take months. I implore you to let that be the beginning of crying out and shouting. Standing on a corner, praying, is a beginning. It may be that there's somebody looking out their window saying, what are those people doing? They're praying. And that might be just what it takes to impress upon somebody the need that they have for that same Savior. I know this has been about praising God for salvation, and I do praise God for salvation. When I'm in my depths, when things are going like they've gone this week and you just feel like you're drowning, I praise God for salvation because this too shall pass. But if salvation is something foreign to you, if it's something you've thought about but never acted on, today is the day of salvation. And then you can join the chorus of those who are giving him praise for all that he has done. I shared this very briefly with the BSU last Wednesday, and I want to share it with you here today too. Don't be stupid. Proverbs 12, verse 1. I can't quote it to you, but it just basically said, he who loves knowledge is smart. I can't think of it. But he who despises correction is stupid. That's what the Bible says. Don't be stupid. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, wishing you were dead but not being dead because you're in hell eternally. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God. The wages of sin, you have to earn it to go to hell. But the gift of God is free. And then finally, absolutely one of the top five verses in the Bible as far as I'm concerned, Romans 10, 13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you too can cry out and shout and share with people how great God is. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, so much for your love for us. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God worthy of praise, not more worthy than anything, worthy of praise. I praise your name for what you've done, how we've seen your hand moving this week, Lord, and I just pray that you continue to move in the lives of these people, in the life of this church, and I pray, oh God, that if there be one here who needs to make this decision today, today would be the day of salvation, and then we can praise God for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us, and I pray this in your name. Amen.